Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Then, and he says here in verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn from the dead. Verse number 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and, help me, for him. We are created for, and by right of creation. You and I belong to him and are for his purpose. Verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Read verse 18 with me. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, all things are reconciled through him, and we praise the Lord for that. Father, would you guide us now as we look into this subject this evening? Would you bless our business meeting in a moment? And would it all be done to the praise of your glory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to ask this question. I'm going to just jump right into it. I want to ask you this question. Is the church a business? All right. Wait, we have a no over here, right? Is the church a business? All right. So you're all wondering, is this a trick question? This is not a trick question. Is the church a business? We just read it in this passage of Scripture. I want to make this statement. While there is business of the church, and there is business the church tends to, that is required, necessary, and so on, the church is not a business. It is a body. It is a body. How many of you would agree with me about that? All right? A little bit more amens there, okay? Now, did we read there in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 18? Look at it with me. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, it goes on to say. The church is not a business. It is a body. It doesn't mean that there's not business to tend to. It does mean that it is ultimately a body. It's a living organism. It's not just an organization. It is an organism. 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. In that passage of Scripture, kind of the illustration of it being a household, something that is living, breathing, going forward. Now, as a body, a church has certain needs. As you as a body, you have certain needs. And I want to open it up tonight and get some input. What as a body, if this is a body, it's living, breathing, it's moving forward, it's supposed to be growing and so on, what are some of the needs that the Bible gives to us, or the things that the church needs as a body? Okay? And if you know of scripture passage to attach to that, do so. All being in agreement. What else? You say, Pastor, you have the notes. I do. I wanted to see. Love one another. Yes, sir?
Deacons and elders take care of spiritual and physical.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. Sharing burdens with one another, bury one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Spiritual food, nourishment. Our bodies need nourishment, and everyone says?
Amen.
All right. And in this Christmas season, sometimes we give it the more non-nourishing food. All right. The cookies are good.
Body has certain needs. Now, I encourage you, what I'm going to give here is not exhaustive. And I encourage you to think about it. What does Grace Baptist Church need as a body? Maybe you'd meditate or go through that mental exercise this week. But one was mentioned here. A church needs servant leaders. Now, certainly there's leaders in offices that we've already talked about that a church needs in order to, God is established in the structure of a church. But in general, a church needs servant leaders. On Galatians 5 and verse number 13, the Bible says, by love serve one another. And so it's something that is to be across the board. But I bring us to note in Titus 1 and verse number 5, the church there at Crete was out of order, and Paul left Titus there in Crete, that island nation of Crete. And he said this in verse number 5. He said, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee. So the disorder, he says, I need there to be setting up of, or the establishment of, those that would lead and those that would lead out in the church and establish that order. So the first order of business for Titus was to ordain elders, to ordain pastors in there. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1. And I want us to note this and see this together. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 1. And I'm going to read down through this, and it'll be helpful to us. When we get to verse number 5, we'll see that there's a responsibility upon all of us in this matter. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 1. The elders which are among you, the pastors which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for greed, but of a ready mind. The idea is he's not being forced into it. It's a, yes, I believe this is something the Lord wants me to do, and am of a willing and ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but in samples or examples to the flock. And when the, help me out here, chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so, aren't you thankful tonight that there is an accountability, there's an oversight ultimately of the chief shepherd? Aren't you thankful for that? He cares for your soul. He really does. And I'm thankful to be reminded of that tonight. Let's read verse 5, the first part of it together. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So in the midst of all this, he says, yeah, there's servant leaders that need to feed the flock, take the oversight thereof, not as lords, not as dictators, but as examples of the flock. There's a need for that, but in all of us, there needs to be this humility of serving one another and caring for one another. We find in Acts 6 and verse number 3, like Brother Noah just mentioned a moment ago, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. And so there's a need for these specifically, these two offices, pastor and the deacons, but in general, the need for servant leadership within the church. Every one of us can lead out by serving, can we not, right? Every one of us. By love, serve one another. And 1 Peter touches on it there, that need for humility. It requires humility. Someone said the test of whether you're a servant or not is whether you react when you're treated like one, right? And so many times in our hearts, oh man, they treated me like a servant. And we react in our hearts, and the Lord help us to just be humble in that way. But a church needs servant leaders. A church needs the preached word of God. It needs the nourishment of the word, the taught word of God. It needs that. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. And it needs that for the matter of perfecting. Acts 20:28 says, unto the pastor, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, to feed the flock of God. We notice that in 1 Peter, to feed the flock of God. We need the nourishment of the word. We can do without a lot of things, but we cannot do without the word, right? We must have the word. And it's very important. That's why even in Acts chapter 6, the whole office of the deacon was set up so as to relieve the apostles and the elders there in that city to be able to focus on the ministry of the word. Timothy was told, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick," that's the alive, "and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Do you notice Timothy was said to do all of that? Preaching isn't all about, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. It's exhort, encouragement, come alongside. Hey, let's remember this. Let's stay focused on this. And the idea of exhort is that coming alongside. Barnabas was an exhorter. Barnabas was one that said, hey, let's cleave to the Lord. Let's keep close to the Lord, he told the believers there in the book of Acts. And so how needed that is. One man has said preaching is the engine that pulls the whole train of ministry. It's how everything moves along. What we do in here is so important to everything that we do as and function as a church. And so we need the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And it's a high responsibility, and as you pray in that matter, pray that the Lord helps me and anyone standing in this pulpit or teaching in this church, in any room in this church, to rightly divide the word of truth and to value it. And that's so important. Our church needs that. And the Bible talks about the gifts that are given to the church, the teacher. Ultimately, a pastor has a great responsibility for that. But the church needs the Word of God. We need it. We can do without many things, but we cannot do without it. A church needs unity around the truth. Someone said this already. Not just unity, but unity around truth. Okay, so we're not going to understand truth unless it's being opened and rightly divided on a regular basis. Certainly we have the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful we have the Holy Spirit. I am thankful tonight that we have the writer of the Bible inside of our hearts, and he guides us along. He illuminates the truth, and his job is to open it up to our minds. But the fact of the matter is, the opening up the Word of God in this congregation gives us the understanding. Here is truth. And we want to stand on truth, and we can have unity around that. Now, notice Ephesians 4 and verse number 13, if you're writing down references, Ephesians 4 and verse number 13, after he says, hey, the pastors and the apostles and the teachers are given for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, he says, this is all to go on until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How long is preaching and teaching supposed to be happening? Until we see Jesus. Until we're all in perfect unity together. What a day that's going to be. Isn't it going to be a wonderful day when we all see eye to eye? When all the questions are cleared. When everything that we've wondered about, God just sets it all clear. And we're in perfect unity. What a blessing that will be. But we must strive for that in this day. And we strive for that as we seek the truth. He goes on in verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so the idea is there's unity and it's around the truth. Outside of the truth, there's tossing to and fro. Well, that YouTube channelist said this, and that pastor said this, and this book said this. God says, no, there has to be unity around the truth. And friends, the ultimate authority that we have is Lord Jesus Christ, but he's provided his word. This is the ultimate authority. He said that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And so I just remind us again tonight, what we are doing and gathering around the truth is so very important. So very important to our health. It's so very important to our body. Now, in a business setting, it may not make all sorts of sense, but this is what grows us and establishes us as a body, getting around the truth and having unity around it. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, Paul told the Corinthian unbelievers, which were very fractured, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, notice that, brethren. He did not call them unsaved. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the believers. He says, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And he's saying, listen, I'm begging you, you all say the same thing. Unity around the truth. I'm thankful this is our guidebook tonight. It is our guidebook, and we can have unity around it. A church needs finances in order to fulfill the work of the ministry. In this sense is where oftentimes a church is seen as a business or misconceived as a business. But the early church, from the early days of the church, there were offerings that were enabling the church to do its work, to carry out the gospel. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse number 33. Acts 4 and verse number 33, this is when we see Barnabas come on the scene. And there was obvious persecution that was going on inside the, against the church in Jerusalem there. No doubt, boycotting of businesses and et cetera that was going on. Believers were hurting. That extended well into Paul's third missionary journey. He was bringing back offerings from other churches to there to help the work continue on there and people sustain life. Acts 4 and verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all, not just the apostles, but great grace or enablement was upon all the believers. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted is the son of consolation. Here's a man that got a nickname because he was always encouraging people. So the apostles said, you know what, we're not going to call you Joseph, we're going to call you Barnabas because you're always walking around encouraging people. What a great testimony right there. He was a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. All I want to just note there is, in order to carry on what the apostles were doing in verse number 33 and care for the needs that were in the flock and care for the ministry going forward, there were offerings that were given, free will offerings at this point. The next chapter we see in verse number 5, there were on Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, they tried to get in on the notoriety they thought Barnabas got and give part of the money of the land and be hypocritical in that way. And the Holy Spirit saw through that. People saw through that. And it was a very difficult thing for the church to go through. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every man lay by, every one lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when they come. He said, just a practical note, on the first day of the week, take up the offering. That's the time where bring it in, that it be ready to go when I come through and bring the offering down into Jerusalem. Acts 18 and verse number 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Titus and Timotheus came down from the churches up in Macedonia, bringing a love offering down there. Paul was pressed in the spirit. He was enabled in his spirit to put aside the tent working, and he went forward in the work of the Lord there. And I just want us just to note, though oftentimes the world around us begins to get a picture of just the money side of church, it is a real side in the New Testament of church. Do we all see that? Just a real practical side of church ministry. Going on, a church needs order. I think someone already said that a church needs order. Now, we're not perfect, and we don't always have all things in order, right? But we want to strive for it constantly. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done, help me, decently and in order, with royal decorum and in order. We ought to put our best foot forward, not in a show, but we ought to do things as excellently as we possibly can. That ought to be our heart, always making it better. Whether you teach a Sunday school class, make it better. Make the room better. Make the next week better than the past week. Whatever your ministry is, make it better, decently and in order. If you see something out of order, help make it to come to order. Figure out how can I bring order to this area. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 34. Would you turn there with me? I want us to note something. Every once in a while, we'll feel like maybe only what's inside the pages of Scripture stated expressly is what we can go on, that we should not establish any sort of guidelines or any sort of ways that we go about things. And I want to note something here that Paul said to the Corinthian believers and remind us of it. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 34. And he's talking about the love feast and again meeting the needs within the church. And he says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. In other words, don't use the love feast, the gathering around the table of the Lord, for just the purpose of filling up. I want you to use that for the purpose of loving one another, caring for each other's needs, and so on. And then notice this last phrase, and I want you to read it out loud together with me, the last phrase of verse number 34, ready, begin, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Now, curious me, I'd like to know what all Paul told the Corinthian believers and all the things that he set in order when he came. But the Holy Spirit doesn't go on and give that to us. He just says, I'm going to set in order when I come. I'm going to establish some things. I'm going to make it so that we do the right thing and we all know what we're supposed to do. And I just want us to note that a church needs order, and there's gonna be times where there's a guideline or there's a way that we go about things, and it might not be the way that you go about it or someone else goes about it, but it's a way that we go about it so that we can be in unity together and there can be order that would glorify God. Now, these are some of the things the body needs, not all the things the body needs. And so I want to send you on a mission in the scriptures to find out some more of the things that the body needs, that we as Grace Baptist Church needs biblically in order to function and grow as a body. Now, this leads me to one other question that I want to just touch on briefly. How do we measure success in a church? So if a church is not a business, it's a body. In business, there's a constant need to evaluate and measure success, right? Is there a need to measure success in a church?
There needs to be continual growth from milk to meat.
Okay. There also ought to be continual evaluation and moving forward. And I want to talk about that just for a moment. But sometimes I do believe that we can cross our wires as far as this whole idea of, is the church a business? Does it operate exactly identical to a business? And so let's talk about that. The metrics by which a business measures success are not always the same metrics by which God measures success. Would you agree with me on that? Okay. A business would potentially have a couple different sides of measuring success, financial and non-financial. And let's just talk about a couple of those, and I'm sure many of you could add some thoughts to this. But financial metrics would be sales revenue. Do you have money coming in? Are you making sales? Are you getting a good market share? Like, are you gaining more of the market? Is your product what you're offering to the community or to your customers? Are you developing a greater market share? And is there profitability? At the end of the day, do you have a profit? Now, non-financially, the metrics might be whether the employees are happy and whether the customers are happy, or vice versa. But these are ways that businesses are constantly monitoring. Some of these can cross, but by and large, the metrics that a business might use to measure its success on a daily or weekly or monthly, quarterly basis are not always the same metrics that God uses to measure success. Now, listen, as you think about it, if we consider that every person that walks into this room is a customer, and every person is always going to be delighted with everything that's said in this room from the pulpit, then we're going to be really frustrated. Every person you witness to is a customer of Grace Baptist Church, and they don't always receive the message or don't like the message, we're going to find ourselves frustrated. Because we should love and we should care and we should speak the truth in love, the fact of the matter is the metric for success or the metric for pleasing God in that case is not whether the customer's always happy. Now think about this. There are many that were not happy with the message of Jesus Christ, the apostles, and to think that they're always going to be happy with the message that we have. Now, that's just one side. So the business, some of the metrics there. But what about for the body? I want to challenge us with these thoughts. There could be more, and I'm again not saying this is exhaustive, but I want to give us two metrics by which the Lord looks at a church. Number one, the purity of the life of the church. Now, what is a church? A church is a body. It's made up of members. So every one of us affect the church, right? Every one of us, we will give a personal account to God, but we're all responsible to Him, and we're individually responsible to the Lord. We'll give an account in that way. And the purity of the life is very important, the purity of the church. Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. All the wives say? Amen. Good and loud. All right. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might set it apart, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God wants a pure church. More than a large church, and I'm not knocking that. I want to see the Lord add to our number, but I am saying this. More than those metrics that we might look from a business standpoint and having everybody happy, God wants a pure church. He wants you and I to walk in purity, void of offense towards God and men. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. God cares about the lives we live tomorrow. He cares about what happens in our home tonight. He wants us to walk in purity.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.